So we're going to try to finish up the topic that we've been discussing the past couple of days, and that is the topic of having children, of whether we have not yet discussed and will not discuss today different types of contraception and the halachic and practical benefits of one or the other, but just having children. So what we have discussed so far are the various mitzvos, requirements in terms of puruvu and sheves and lerev al tanechidecha and bringing Mashiach, and we started to discuss the idea of delaying children entirely, meaning when a couple gets married, is there any isser in just waiting until they have children? So now we're going to move on to the next step, is let's say a couple has a child, and now they want to know how long they can wait before they have child number two, spacing children. So for some people, having children one right after the other will cause a tremendous amount of stress. There, you know, sometimes it really depends on how much the first child is causing, causing them agmas nefesh, or causing them, agmas nefesh is not the right term, but is giving them a run for their money, let's say. You know, some children are very easygoing, and like, sometimes a couple has a first child, they're like, oh, this is what kids are like, we could have 15 of these, this is no problem. But sometimes it's like, oh my God, another monster like this, and we're never gonna be ice mensch, and it's gonna be, so you have to take that into account as well. Now the Gemara does make an assumption, the Gemara has a discussion, how long a woman is supposed to nurse after giving birth, till what age it's appropriate to nurse. The Gemara discusses in Maseches Ksuvos even the possibility of a woman nursing until the child is 5 or 6 years old, but the Gemara assumes that the normal, natural standard of how long a woman should nurse is 2 years. That is not the typical, it's not typically done anymore to nurse for that long, for 2 years. Sometimes, every once in a while, you have someone who does it, but it's not typical. But nevertheless, that was the assumption of the Gemara. The Gemara further assumes that a woman who nurses is unable to conceive, because the Gemara assumes dam necher v'nasa chalav, and therefore she's not going to be able to have a regular cycle, and she will not be able to conceive. That metzius is no longer true, meaning the metzius is no longer, women are able to nurse and then conceive a child even as they were still nursing. It's not as likely, but it's not a 100% metzius. But what that metzius the Gemara is telling us, is that it seems that the Gemara did not have a problem with a woman to nurse for 2 years, even though necessarily that meant that she will not be able to conceive another child during those 2 years. So therefore, they say in the name of Rav Henkin that in the Minigan Lita was that they would give women 2 years before conceiving their second child, because you see, to care for, if the purpose is to care for one child, then you need to focus on that one child, just like nursing the child is caring for that child, and you're allowed to have 2 years. So whenever you need your attention and your energy and your, to care for that child, will allow up until 2 years to conceive, which would mean a minimum of 2 years and 9 months. Now one can argue, well, wait a second, there's a difference between providing nourishment to allow the first child to survive, and, you know, with my job, I'm so busy, I feel like I don't like when a babysitter takes care of the child, I don't like that that the baby's grandmother has a better relationship with the kid than the baby's mother, things of that nature, probably not exactly the same. Meaning, if your focus is from that Gemara, it's really not about the mother, it's really about the child. The other perspective to take is the perspective of, and what about the mother? What about the mother's health? And, childbirth is a traumatic event. It is something that really, it doesn't seem that it's as traumatic as it used to be. Morena Rav Shechter holds that even though the halach in Shulchan Aruch is that for 72 hours after giving birth, a woman is a chol sheyesh basakana and is not allowed to fast in Yom Kippur, he no longer thinks that that's the case, because, like I think we mentioned in the past, a woman could be at the gym on the treadmill, 48 hours after having a baby nowadays, kimat. That doesn't seem to be the metzius anymore. But nevertheless, it is a traumatic event that, and for her to find her equilibrium and to regain her strength. So they say b'shem the Chazon Ish that the Chazon Ish held that 6 to 12 months is the automatic. That 6 to 12 months is the assumption of what a woman needs in order to regain her strength. Morenu Rav Willig quotes that his neonatologists are aligned with the Chazon Ish, and that they say that typically 12 months is a normal amount of time for her to be back to full strength. Again, it would depend on what kind of childbirth she had, meaning none of these things are like absolutely set in stone. That's why you need to talk to people. You need to hear what exactly the situation is. Yeah. From childbirth to conceiving, because the pregnancy itself is going to take a major toll. So that would mean a 21-month age gap if she conceives immediately, like a 21-month age gap between children. And that seems to be the, I wouldn't say the minhag, but it seems to be a very common practice that people will space their kids 2 years apart. It happens to work out pretty well as far as raising the children also, that 2 years is close enough that they have who to play with and that there's a connection between the siblings. It works out in terms of family dynamics very well also. Sometimes, you know, in certain communities, they don't wait at all. They just, as soon as she becomes Torah, my sister gets pregnant. When my sister has a baby, one of my brothers-in-law always calls up and says, "Mazel tov, bishah tova." You know, like, why should I make another call in a month from now if I could tell you right now?
When you talk about waiting to have kids, you mean going on birth control? Is that what we're referring to?
Yeah. So we'll have to get to what kinds of birth control, but yeah, we mean going on birth control. We certainly do not mean abstinence or something like that. We mean going on birth control. Okay, so that is as far as spacing children. Let's say this couple has now fulfilled the mitzvah of Puravu in the sense that they have a son and a daughter. So the Chida in Birkei Yosef, Nevenezer, Simon Aleph, writes that once you've been Mekayim Puravu, there's no Isser to delay the fulfillment of Laraval Tanach Yedecha. Meaning Laraval Tanach Yedecha may be a Chiyuv, but it doesn't have to be now. As opposed to Puravu, which we discussed yesterday, four or five different reasons, or Rayas, that it's got to be now, that we call it a Bittel Perivarivya to delay. But for Laravat HaMechidecha, the Chida suggests that there's no Isser to delay. And L'chora, if you hold that Laravat HaMechidecha is only a Midas Chasidus, you even have the right to not just delay, to give up entirely and say, I've been Mekayim in the midst of Puravu, and I'm not interested anymore. But Al Pi Hashkafa, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Meaning, for a couple who's been Mekayim Puravu when they're, I don't know, 28 years old, for them to say, that's it, we're done, we're never having... So first of all, it's likely to cause friction in the marriage, because very likely she is not done, meaning she's going to have the itch again at some point, and if he's like, what do you mean? I thought we were done. So it's not a good idea to just say that you're done, just even from my basic Shalom Bayis perspective. And in general, Piashkafu, we've discussed the value of having Jewish children. It's worth revisiting that issue and putting the couple in the mindset of, you know what, let's discuss this again. I'll often tell a couple, if they've been Mekayim Puravu, that you don't have to come back to me to discuss it, but I want you to discuss it every 6 months. Put it on your calendar, that at least you'll have this discussion with each other in 6 months from now. I'm never going to tell you that you're chayiv, because I hold the Rav Shech that Al-Tarech Yedach is a Midas Chasidus. I can't force you to do a Midas Chasidus, but I can tell you that the proper Ashkaf is to think about it, is that you need to always be having that conversation, that the default is you want to do what you can to bring more neshamos into Klal Yisrael. And of course, always offer it. If you need a sounding board, you need someone to talk it through with, if you have certain issues, and you know, sometimes in 6 months from now, they'll be talking about it, and they'll be like, well, should we get a dog, or should we have a child? And like, they really think that that's a serious conversation, and that's when they need someone from the outside to say, have a child. it's more important than getting a dog. What about giving up entirely? Like, when do you say, you know what, we're done? So when a parent feels that they can no longer raise the children, the Torah L'mitzvos, Rav Shechter, against the poskim that we mentioned earlier, who disagree with this, Rav Shechter holds that you're allowed to give up when you think that you're at a point where it's you're just not going to be capable to raise them properly. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud tells us that, which is had recently in Daf Yomi, that Yeshayahu told Chizkiyahu HaMelech that, Meis HaTabol L'mazeh, Lo Tichye L'Olam HaBa. that you're dead in this world and you're not going to live in the next world either. So when he asked why, so Yeshayahu told him, Mishum Delo Asakta B'Peri V'Rivya. So the Chizkiyahu explained, of course I was not Osing Peri V'Rivya. I saw Baruch HaKodesh that my kids weren't going to be religious. So Yeshayahu responds, B'Hadi Kavshi D'Rachman Alamalach, Ma'idim Afkadati Bailach Lamevenu Madanicha Kamikutra Berichu Lavid. It's not your cheshbon. What you are mechuyev to do, you got to do. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to do. So Shaptah points out that there are two ways to understand that conversation. One is that Yeshayahu said that you can't make these cheshbonos about the reasons for the mitzvah of having children. That you can't say that, the reason for the mitzvah of having children is to be able to raise the next generation of the Torah, the mitzvahs, and therefore, if I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to have the children. You don't know the reasons for the mitzvah. You can't, you just, if you have a mitzvah, you do the mitzvah. The other way to understand it is you're 100% right about the reasons for the mitzvah. The reason for the mitzvah is to raise another dar, the Torah of the mitzvahs. But it happens to be that your only reason for thinking it's not going to work out is that Ruach HaKodesh. But did you know that Menashe is going to do tshuva? Meaning it's still going to work out in Dorei Doro, so you're going to have a continuity of Klal Yisrael. So Shachta thought, if al pi derech ha-teva, it seems that you're not going to be able to raise on the Torah of the mitzvahs, we can assume like the second understanding, that is a valid cheshbon to say that we're not interested in having further children, and that's a proper cheshbon to stop having children. Again, it's very rare, I think, that you can make that statement as a forever kind of statement, meaning you may feel that way right now, but life changes over time, and therefore it's always healthy to revisit these kinds of conversations as life changes. You found a new job, you moved to a new community, things happen, things change, where people, where the assessment of a year ago may not be the assessment anymore. There are those that decide to stop having children when the risk gets, the risk of abnormalities gets higher, meaning after a certain age, advanced age, certainly for a woman, and also recent studies show for a man as well, that the age of both mother and father will play a critical role in terms of the determining the chances of birth defects and other abnormalities. So there are some people that say, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to. I want my children to be healthy, and I'm not interested in rolling the dice on such a thing. So again, if you work with the assumption that Lerev al Tanach Yadecha is a Midas Chasidus, so a couple has the right to make that cheshbon. There is a posek in the Dati Lumi community that publicized in his community that what his position is on abortion. And he thought that he had more Tzitz Eliezer-like position on abortion, and he thought it was important to publicize that because he found that women after the age of 35 in his community stopped having children. So he said, keep on having children, and if need be, then we'll deal with it. So that was one approach that one prominent Rav in, I'm not saying his name because I don't want to say his name, I just forgot which one, I'm sure you can Google it and you'll find it, but it was a prominent posek in the Dati Lumi community. So some basic rules in Paskening. First of all, as we've discussed, it always requires asking a Shaila. Rav Borstein from Machon Pua explains in an article in a Tzohar journal why he believes so strongly that it's important to ask a Shaila, but we don't need any fancy explanations. It's a simon in Shulchan Aruch. You ask a shayla about every simon in Shulchan Aruch if you're not sure what the halacha says. People who say that a rabbi has no business with this must not realize that it's a simon in Shulchan Aruch. It's not something certainly that rabbis enjoy doing. It's not something, you know, it's not like people think, oh, a rabbi comes and flexes his muscles by telling couples what they have to do. No rabbi wants a woman leaving his office crying because she thought that she doesn't have to have kids for the next 5 years, and now her whole life plans are thrown into disarray. No one wants to do that. It's not something that's comfortable to do. It's like the mitzvah of hocheach tochiach. You know, you're not looking to do it. It's just that sometimes if you're in a position where you can correct a behavior, you have to do it. So it's not something that we're excited about. When meeting with a couple, you do have to get a very strong sense of the people themselves, who they are, what their hashkafos are, what their life situation is. Rav Dov Lior writes, quoted in the sefer put out by Machon Pua, that kasha legvoa on a uniform basis. He says, toli harbe b'matzav habriut shel b'nei azug u'biyucholtam l'tapul b'nei beitam. Some people are very easygoing, and no matter how many kids are dancing on their head, they're totally fine. They're just very easy. And some people are very nervous parents, you know, the helicopter parents. That like, so can you imagine if they have to helicopter over 12 kids? Like they'll fall apart. So it really depends. You know, you ever see like sometimes, you know, an Israeli Haredi family, like you're like, oh my, you're like running after the kids. You know, they're not even your kids. You're like so terrified of what's going to happen. And the parents are like, yeah, it's fine. You know, whatever. Let the 4-year-old walk the 2-year-old to the makolet, and you know, he'll bring his gun. You know, like, and they have no, you know, so you have to get a sense of what kinds of people they are. Most of the time, you do need to get both spouses to get onto the same page about it. So that's all the time, I would say. Willig always taught us that the woman's opinion matters, the husband's much less so, because you know, at the end of the day, she's going to be the one that's pregnant, and in all likelihood she's going to be the one raising the kid for the most part. If there are serious health or psychological concerns, so you always take that very seriously. You have to get a sense of the family. If they have another child that maybe for health reasons or emotional reasons drains them of their resources or their ability to parent other children. Sometimes they seem like a great couple, and the Shalom Bayis seems great, and everything seems great, and they're like, yeah, why not? But you don't realize that there's another child at home who drains them for one reason or another, for whatever you know, the reasons might be. Convenience, as a rule, is not a good reason to delay, even if you're using a more permissible type of contraception. Money, as a rule, is not a good reason to delay having children. However, very few people because very few people are really unable to feed their children. Very few people can actually, you know, al pi cheshbon, really afford having children in the long term. So that's why generally it requires some amount of bitachon, and money is not really a major factor. However, Rav Neuberger points out that money often plays into stress and anxiety, and the stress and anxiety is a factor. So a couple says, oh, we can't afford it. So sometimes a couple says we can't afford it, and people are not so nervous about money. So ah, we'll figure it out. You know, Hashem Yazar and everything. Everything's, I'm still here, aren't I? You know, I survived this long. I'm sure Hashem will help me survive. And some people have that attitude. And other people have the attitude of, well, according to my projections, the 11th grade tuition, by the time this unborn child gets to 11th grade, is going to be more than I'll ever make in my life. You know, and like everything has to be like perfectly aligned. So you have to get a sense of how much of a stress it causes. Similarly, a hefsid moment, if one would have to leave a graduate program or something with that would not understand why the person is leaving. So losing something that you already have is a real factor, Rav Neuberger has pointed out. So just I just want to conclude this by maybe going through how to run this conversation. I mean, many of you are going to be Rabbanim, you're going to have this conversation with people. So I don't know the right answer of exactly how to run it. I'm just going to tell you what I do, and you can give me your ha'aras, and I can change what I do, perhaps. And yeah.
Yeah, just the convenience, money, etc., not being legitimate reasons to delay. Are we talking about delaying approval or rule, or Erev Tanakh Hedafa?
So in general, Erev Tanakh Hedafa we're much more relaxed about, because at least we are in this issue with the Morenu. Yeah. So generally, we're a little more relaxed about it, much more relaxed about it. But as far as delaying peruvu, you know, you have to see how much it causes stress, meaning how much of it is stress. But the money itself shouldn't be even. Larva Tariqa de Rabbi Shachter, they once did a Torah web thing where Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Shachter both spoke about this topic. And Rabbi Willig said, money is never a factor. I don't care how many kids you have, money is never a factor. It should never, ever be a factor in determining how many. Yeah. And Rabbi Shachter then got up and said, I assume what Rabbi Willig means is that within reason, money is never a factor. It's not what Rabbi Willig meant, but, you know, Rabbi Shachter has a different position on this issue. He thinks that within reason, if you feel like you're. Meaning, he says, I've heard of Morenu Shachter say that he's had people come to his door collecting tzedakah. I'm marrying off my 13th child, and I have 8 more to go, and I'm learning in Kailav, and I have and he says, I'll tell them, idiot, who told you to have 21 children? Why would you have that many children if you know that you can't support that many children? So that's you know, sometimes though in our community it's not an issue of can't support. It's I can't put away money for them for their you know, for their futures. It's you know, they're like different definitions of what it means to be able to support children. So how to run the conversation. So here's what I do, and again, I don't know that this is right or wrong. I never really got a masorah in how to do this. I never had this conversation with anyone. When I got married, I don't know, maybe my friends were in on the secret. We never knew that there was such a thing as asking shailas and getting... We just had kids, you know. That's what you said. You got married and you had kids. That's what I think. Based on all my friends, it seems that we all had that same understanding that you just got married and had kids. But so I don't have any sort of masorah in this, but this is what I found works the best as far as, for me at least. First is that the rabbi is the first person to talk, to break the ice. If you say, nope, what do you have to say? So that's a bad idea. They're not going to open up, and they're going to be very uncomfortable. You really have to put them at ease. So the way to put them at ease is, you know, talk in a way that's warm and that's. But I think the spiel that I give, it's only like a 5 to 7 minute spiel. But the spiel that I give is I start by going through the basic mitzvos, you know, the four mitzvos we discussed. Then I explain the hashkafa of the Ein Ish Ela Labanim, and the primary purpose of marriage is to be able to build a Jewish family. Then I explain that fertility is not a bracha that comes easily to people. I just had a conversation this morning on the way into yeshiva. A guy a Talmud of mine who's got married a little while ago, and they've been trying to have children, and they finally got pregnant. She just had a miscarriage, he's like, what do I do? My wife won't stop crying. What am I supposed to do? Like, is there anything, you know? And you know, like, it's very heartbreaking. There's a lot of and you explain that it's not a bracha to be taken lightly. Then I go through the top 5 reasons that people usually give, meaning the most common reasons that people usually give for why they want to delay having children. Children, while explaining in very general terms the relative weight of each argument, meaning graduate school, parents, you know, that what their parents want them to do, which has no weight as far as I'm concerned, money, anxiety, which I think is important for the rabbi to bring up, because a lot of times one or both of them will suffer from anxiety in a serious way and will be embarrassed to bring it up themselves. So you bring it up in a sensitive way, and you mention that, you know, like 50% of the world is being treated for anxiety now. For whatever reason, the anxiety numbers are through the roof, even though we're in a generally speaking one of the more relaxed periods of history. You know, as far as the way things are going for mankind and the Jewish people in particular, but nevertheless, you know, that's just the mitzvah, that's the way it is, and that's something that's taken very seriously. But you got to bring that up so that they'll be comfortable to bring that up, because it's a very common one. And shalom bayis concerns. And sometimes when you bring that up, you'll see things that come out also. And you have to pay very careful attention. Read body language. Look at how they're interacting with each other. And also, then I explain the difference between a couple that's saying, you know, we're looking for 3 months just to get used to marriage, versus a couple that's saying, well, I'd like to finish medical school and residency and fellowship before, you know, there's a difference between 5 years, 10 years, and a couple of months. And then, once you've oriented their minds in that way, so then you turn to the woman and you say, you know, and you ask her, to start the conversation in terms of where her mind is at, what she's thinking, what she's feeling, and then after she expresses her feelings and concerns, then the husband gets to talk. And he can express his feelings and concerns, and you can even listen. Now, it's important to look closely at both of them as they're having this conversation. It's best, if you can, to speak to the kala teacher to get some perspective, if it's a young couple and it's before they get married, because sometimes the kala teacher will see red flags and she may not know you or call you. Often she will, but sometimes she won't. And it's important to speak to her to get some perspective, and to the chassan teacher if it's not you, to get some perspective on who they are and where they're at. The strength of the relationship is a very big factor. Meaning, if I've had cases where the chassan has had history with sexual issues. Assault and things of that nature, or internet addiction, you know, pornography addictions, things like that are very, very serious. And as much as a relationship might look healthy, you may want to say there are times, very rare, but there are times where couples have come not looking for a heter, but I told them that they should wait anyway, that they should wait, you know, we should have another conversation in 3 months, we should have another conversation in 6 months, just because I was nervous about the people. But you can't make that call unless you have a real understanding of the people. And finally, at the end of the conversation, ideally everybody should be in agreement that the plan is a good plan. Moreno Rav Willig Shlita likes to tell the story of the couple that came to him, and the woman walked out of his office crying, and that story never resonated with me. Meaning, at the end of the day, they had a family, and he's like, "See, all's well that ends well." But I don't know, the story never resonated with me because I don't think it's the best result if they walk out of your office crying. I think the best result is if they walk out of your office understanding. Meaning, like, understanding that, oh, that makes sense. Meaning, the mahalich that we have a plan now, and this mahalich makes sense, and they're comfortable with it. You can't always control that. You can't always make sure that that happens. But to the extent that you can, I think that that's the best case scenario. I'm sure Rabbi Willig would agree that that's the best case scenario. He tells that story because the couple told him that they want him to always tell that story. So he always tells that story. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the issue of contraception in terms of once we know that there is a heter. You know, I don't like using the term heter. Once we know that Ratzon Hashem is that they should not have other children right now, so what are the best ways to go about doing that? So that will Be'ez Hashem begin tomorrow, the different methods of contraception, how they work, and what the halachic parameters, the halachic issues with each of them are. Okay? Have a great day, everybody. Sorry for going